As we enter into Holy Week, the 7 days before Easter, one of the stories we remember is the story of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Or at any rate, we call it a triumph, but not in the sense of the triumph of winning a gold medal or being met with praise and applause. In the ancient Roman Empire that Jesus lived in, a triumph was a military parade, a state-sponsored show of power. The triumph of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem is the opposite of state-sponsored, to put it mildly. No one in authority wants anyone to think that Jesus has any kind of power. But Jesus definitely does have power. He is met by crowds lining the streets, not to throw flower petals, not to cheer his passing, not to congratulate him, but to cry out, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us." The crowd is desperate for solutions, for changes, for revolutions, for relief, for hope, for a cure. Some things don't change. I think the Hosanna we're crying out today isn't all that different from the Hosanna of the crowd that day 2,000 years ago. Our gospel story comes to us this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 15. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry. This is the word of the Lord. Over the past 3 years, the authorities have had some run-ins with Jesus, and they've heard a lot about him. But until now, they've been able to brush him off as a troublemaker, but a manageable problem. But now those authorities are right in the middle of a great procession of people bringing their problems to Jesus. Those authorities are surrounded by a crowd yelling, "Save us! You're the promised one! You are the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Save us! In the name of God, save us!" Jesus is a threat. And before the authorities can even call a meeting to discuss what to do about this threat, Jesus marches straight into the temple itself, flips over the tables of the money changers and the merchants selling animals for sacrifice, and chases out everyone who was in the temple to do business rather than to pray. But Jesus doesn't stop with flipping over tables. He gathers the outcast of society, and he answers their cries of Hosanna, save us, heal us, give us something better. He restores sight. He restores mobility. He restores dignity and independence to the people who come to him. God cares more about the need to live than the need to make money. God always listens to the poor, the outcast, the hurting. God cares more about people than rules. God always listens to the ones who have no one to turn to, the ones who think they are never heard. God cares. God listens. Even over the sounds of buying and selling, God hears. In the midst of virulent disease, God hears. In the first century, when believers lived under the oppression of the Roman Empire, God heard our prayers. In every time of war, of disaster, of unrest, of disease, God has heard our prayers. Jesus has wept with us, and the Holy Spirit has whispered into the souls of the helpers, guiding and encouraging. In the year 1613, a German Lutheran pastor wrote a hymn called I Shall Say Farewell to You as a Sterbelied, a hymn for the dying. There was a plague sweeping through the continent, and the pastor subtitled the hymn as a devotional prayer, dedicated to 2,000 men and women who had succumbed to the plague. Historically speaking, after times of plague, Christians have been especially drawn to the image of Christ on the cross, who not only understood, but shared our suffering and our physical pain. As we approach the dawn of Good Friday, and as a modern plague sweeps across the globe, I've been drawn to the image of Christ on the cross too. Translated into English, one verse of the pastor's hymn reads, "By your grace, conceal my soul in your open side. Move it away from all harm to your glory. Here my soul is well. Enters into heaven's palace, recovers forever, remains in your heart." It may be a Sterbelied, a hymn for the dying, but it is also a fervent cry of Hosanna, save us. God heard our cries of Hosanna and saw us through the plagues of the Middle Ages and beyond. God hears our cries of Hosanna now and will see us through this too. It is hauntingly and eerily fitting that I learned about this German hymn from 1613 this week, because while different lyrics have been set to its tune, it remains a tune that we know very well, as a song that literally cries out, "Hosanna, save us." Although we might not be familiar with the genre, we still know this song as a Sterbelied, a hymn for the dying, because it is sung to the Jesus who will die in less than a week's time. For hundreds of years, we have sung this prayer for divine help. Please join with me in singing, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor."